You have to wait and see. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come before you today, and I ask you to fill me afresh with your Spirit. Lord, would you cause me to be led as I preach, Lord, sensing what you desire to, how you desire to feed your sheep, Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And I ask now that as this word goes forth, that we would be doers of it, God. It's too easy to just hear. So we ask that you would enable us to walk in what you are calling us to do today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. No verses, sorry, this week and next week. We are going through lessons from Route 66. What did we learn? What are some general overviews? Well, just to start this out, though, think of some of the wild things that are going on right now that cause us concern, that cause us maybe worry, anxiety. Take something like the Trump verdict. All that's gone on with that, left and right, both sides just saying, wow, what happened? We look at what's going on in the Middle East. You know, the World Council or whoever saying that Netanyahu put out an arrest warrant in essence on him. You know, what is happening in the world? What is happening in America? What is happening just in the day-to-day life that we all live? Inflation is crazy. What we're paying for things is 40% higher than it was 4 years ago, whatever it might be. It's just crazy. You look at this stuff and you go, where do you turn? Where do you turn for hope? Where do you go to be encouraged? Where do you go when everything seems to be coming apart at the seams? And how can you walk in joy as you're struggling in life with the news headlines and with the lines in the grocery store as you pay? As one man said, he told me this, he said, I must be getting a lot stronger. And I go, why do you say that? And he goes, boy, it used to be really hard to carry out $100 worth of groceries from the store. Not anymore. Boy, isn't that true? Well, today, the principle that we're laying down, one of the lessons is this, that finding hope and enduring in our faith is assisted as we recall the Lord's past faithfulness and trust His promises for the future. That's the main point today. What about this Route 66? Just a review real quick. Over 1,500 years span from Genesis to Revelation. 1,500 years. The books were written on three different continents. Asia, Africa, and Europe. Amazing, amazing book. It was originally written in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. The Bible that you hold has over 40 authors. 40 authors. And those authors included kings, the world power, the one who was considered ruling the most powerful nation in the world, to peasants, people who no one knew other than their community and a few others, philosophers and fishermen, average people, poets, incredible poets and farmers, and scholars, brilliant men. God used them all. And what's amazing to me is as I went through this series, I kept finding myself repeating certain truths over and over and over again as we went through this series. And that's really where I landed this week and next week is, what are some of the lessons? What are some of the things that we consistently saw? It seemed like I would be preaching up here, and then like 2 weeks later, I'd say the same thing, or I'd make a very similar statement. And as I went back through and I looked at things, I found, well, these are the things that kind of always stood out over and over again They always seem to come back to that. God was laying a foundation, and we know that this is the Spirit of God who is the author of the Word of God. And so He is the one who was writing all this. And He had a purpose behind it, and He had principles in there. And so today we're going to touch on just a few in order to help us in these difficult times. You know, it's not just the times out there and the times in the grocery line. It's our own personal lives. You know, maybe you have a physical ailment that you're struggling with, or somebody you love is going through that, or your children are prodigals. I have a couple of them like that. Whatever it might be, what are some principles that we can hold on to that will help us, regardless of what's happening around us, the chaos? The first one that I found as part of this, the overall main point, is that recalling the Lord's past faithfulness gives enduring faith and hope in hard times. Recalling the Lord's past faithfulness. People in the Bible, when you read it, if you've gone through the Word of God in the last year and a half, you realize that they faced incredible difficulties. And at times, it seemed to come from nowhere. Job's just there, and all of a sudden, everything he owns, all his children are slaughtered, everything he owns is gone. I mean, and what happened? And his friends come in and say, "You must have sinned." And he goes, I'm struggling with this. It seemed to come out of nowhere. You look at others. You know, Paul is just preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden he's arrested and thrown in jail. And you go, okay, he's preaching the gospel, but I mean, is this worthy of jail? Apparently it was back then. So people faced incredible difficulties seemingly out of nowhere. Maybe that's the difficulty you're facing today. It seemed to have come out of nowhere. You had no expectation. And our natural response as Christians is kind of Job's response and others' response: where have I sinned, God? Why is this coming upon me? We assume that these hard times that come upon us are God's discipline because of sin in our lives. And sometimes that's just not the case. That's just not the case. But we're still in the middle of it. And we're trying to understand it. We're trying to make it through. Sometimes these difficulties were brought on by the person. King David. King David brought on his issues. He walked in sin. He looked at Bathsheba and lusted and took her. And all the sin and the consequences that followed that. We see Samson as a great example. Samson, he brought on his troubles, that man, boy. And in a sense, I also see Peter as one of those guys, Peter brought on a lot of his own struggles because of his, I think, part of, obviously his sin nature, but also his personality. You know, it was go, ready, set with Peter. And, that all had its consequences. When we look at this, though, when we look at Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, we realize that the overarching theme is not rebellion and failure of God's people. That's constant. That's from the beginning to the end, right? But that's not the overarching theme. The overarching theme is this, that God's faithfulness to continually redeem people from their messes, from their sin. That's the overarching theme. It's about God's faithfulness from beginning to end. People will fall. People will sin. It's not about that. What is the amazing thing of the Word of God is God's faithfulness in redeeming people out of their messes, out of their sin, over and over and over again. It's amazing. I love that. And so what we find is this, that remembering the Lord's past faithfulness to yourself or to others, either or, remembering God's faithfulness to yourself or others gives us hope and endurance during difficult times. Take a look at God's Word. Deuteronomy 5:15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. He's reminding them in difficult times, remember, I took you out of Egypt. Remember my great hand. When you go into the Old Testament in particular, you look and you see how many times God says, remember what I did in the past. Remember. Remember the Red Sea. Remember how I fed you in the wilderness. He keeps telling him, remember my faithfulness. Remember what I did. Remember that. You're in a hard time now. It seems difficult. Everything seems black. Everything seems to be crowding in around you. Anxiety is rising. And he's saying, remember. Remember what I did. It's over and over and over in the Word of God. And in the Old Testament in particular, as you go, Psalm 77:11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. He's saying, remember, I'm going to do that. Things are hard. Probably David, I think, is the one who wrote this psalm. He's saying, I will remember your deeds of old. I will remember those things. That's why it's so important to teach our children the Word of God. Hey, this is what God did. Moses walks up to the Red Sea. You know, walk up, stand on the shore of the Mississippi and say, you know, the Red Sea's bigger than this. And Moses just puts his staff out. God parts the waters. Can you imagine that? Remember the deeds of old. Not just in the Word of God, but in your life, in others' lives. Remember the deeds of old. That's why it's so important to share testimonies when God does something in your life. The miracles that happen. Remember what God has done. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Remember Christ. Remember the fulfillment of all the prophecies. Remember. In Jude 17:18, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, saying, remember what they said, because you're going through a hard time right now. Church is just, you know, it's struggling. And Jude, or I should say the Spirit of God through Jude, is saying, remember, this was prophesied. This was said. Remember what was said. Remember God's words, not just His deeds, but remember what was said. In the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. This is normal. The church is going to hell in a handbasket, people say. And we're surprised. It's in the Word of God. It's saying in the end times, this is what's going to happen. It's saying, remember, remember, remember. It's 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 21. Christ has been raised. Past tense. Remember, Christ has been raised. Remember that. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Remember the past. Remember what God has done. He's saying that's how you handle the struggles. I have to be honest with you. As you know, I'm looking at retirement, and everybody that I talk to when they're thinking about retirement always wonders if you have enough put aside, right? And you worry about that, and I do too. And what the Lord keeps bringing me back to is He's saying, remember, Dan. Remember how I took care of this family, 5 kids? Remember how impossible that seemed? When you look back, you see the numbers and they don't add up. He said, when have I not taken care? When have I not provided what was needed? Not maybe what was wanted, but what was needed. Remember, Dan. Remember as anxiety creeps in for your life. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember how He took you and brought you out of darkness into light. Remember His hand, not just in the Word of God, but in your life. And that's why it's so important to share testimonies. Because sometimes we can be blind to God's work in our own lives, but then somebody just shares a testimony. Shares a testimony and you go, wow, yeah, that's my God. That's my God. The greatest testimony of the Lord's past faithfulness is His provision of a Savior. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember. That's the greatest thing that we can remember about the past. Remember that as we cruise through the Old Testament, we see these covenants, four of them that God made. And then you see the 300 Old Testament messianic prophecies. Jesus fulfilled them all. Remember. Hundreds of years before Jesus came. Remember. God said, I've got it. Got a plan. Jesus is the greater reality of all the Old Testament shadows. All those things, as we went through from beginning to the end of the Old Testament, we see God doing things. And the whole time, they were shadows of Christ. He was saying, you know what? In one sense, this is what's coming. But where was Jesus in the Old Testament? Jesus is all over the Old Testament. Adam, through one man came sin, and through another one, salvation. There's a picture of Christ and what He was going to do for us. We have Moses, the deliverer, freeing God's people from Egypt, from the world. We have Melchizedek, the high priest. King David. We have Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers, yet saves them. Picture of Christ in us, lost in our sin. And yet, Jesus came and died for us and provided a way. We have not just people, but we have pictures of Christ. The fulfillment, the high priest. Noah's Ark. Picture of Christ. How about Jacob's ladder or the Passover lamb? All the sacrifices for that matter. Picturing Christ, saying there's one to come. And for us it's remembering, going back, thinking about these things. Saying, God, You have provided for me a Savior in the past that I desperately needed. I was lost in my sin. I was lost in my sin, Lord. And You provided a Savior and a friend and a King for me. Remember when things get hard, when things are difficult. Remember the past. Because what we find in Scripture is that Jesus and His life, death, and resurrection are that sweet little thread, that scarlet thread that is woven throughout this story of redemption, the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation. It's Christ. All hidden in there. Woven in. And so when we read a history of the past in the Word of God. And He says, remember. Remember what I have done. And the greatest remembrance we can have is to remember Christ crucified. The one who lived that perfect sinless life required by God to spend eternity in heaven. He did it for us. And God was signaling it so far in advance. And that's why I think another principle that we need to embrace is not just looking back and remembering, but this. To trust in the Lord's yet unfulfilled promises in order to help us to endure and give us hope in difficult times. Remember God's promises for the future. So look back. Remember all that God has done in His Word, in your life, in Christ. And He says, now look ahead. Look ahead. I want you to look back and I want you to look ahead. In hard times, the Old Testament saints hoped in a promise of one who would come. There were promises. There were prophecies. There would be someone who would come. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, but guess what? The Son is coming through your line, and He is going to give you deliverance. He's going to die for your sins, pay that price. So in the Old Testament, These saints had hoped in the one who would come. Over and over, they kept looking for the Messiah, the one who would be there. And what we find is this. In the New Testament, we have hope. It's constantly directing us to look to the future of what? Jesus' second coming. Right? And how can we have that confidence? In part, because of the first coming. Right? I mean, the Old Testament saints were waiting for Christ, were waiting for the Savior, the Messiah. They kept looking ahead, and God kept turning their hearts and their eyes to that, saying, look ahead, look ahead. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide a deliverer. Trust me. And Christ comes. And now God is saying to His people again, trust me, He's coming again. He's coming again. And we have more evidence than they had because He came the first time. And so we can have more confidence in that sense. Because Christ has been here and He is coming back. And this second coming encouraged the New Testament saints in very difficult, hard times. Take a look at God's Word. Hebrews 11. All of Hebrews. Just read Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith. Not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. The promise of a Savior. They died without seeing the Messiah. They were promised Him. So they were looking ahead. And they died without seeing the answer to that. And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Don't you feel like that? You feel like you're the odd man out. If you're at work and you're working with people that don't know Christ and you know your views of life and your views of what's happening in the world don't align with them and you feel like the odd man out and you go, am I a freak? Do I have an eye in the middle of my forehead? No, you're an exile. That's what you are. And see, these Old Testament saints knew that and they kept looking ahead to what it says right here. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. They kept looking ahead. They handled those problems in the Old Testament, the struggles and the challenges, by looking ahead. And they didn't see Christ coming. They believed by God giving them the faith to believe that the Messiah was coming. And they looked ahead. And they realized, we're exiles. We're strangers in this world. That was okay with them. And so now he's saying, now these people did this, and where their hope was, they looked ahead to a greater place, a heavenly kingdom. And he's saying, you do the same. Use their example. That's part of Hebrews chapter 11. Look at their examples of faith. So read through that and read in between those lines and see the cross is in there. But so is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Saying, think ahead, think about those things that are important that will last for eternity. Those are the things you meditate on. Don't get consumed with what's happening around you. Yes, stand up, make a difference, but don't let it control your life. Don't let it control your joy. And it goes on, 2 Peter. Now, 2 Peter, you've got to remember the context. Christians are being killed by Nero. And he says, but according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Talk about injustice. You say, ha, yeah, that's what's just happening in America. Whether you would say Trump's trial. No, I'm talking about injustice back then. Where you claim to be a Christian, so you get the privilege of being taken out of your home, brought into Nero's garden, and lit on fire. Just because you were a Christian. And what is Peter's direction here? He's saying, you know what? I can't change that. But I can give you hope in the midst of all this. Think ahead. Look what awaits you. We are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, where justice will always be true. Sin has ravaged this world. Is it a surprise that justice does not rule? Not at all. We act like, oh no. Why would this surprise us? This world is imploding because of sin. Tom and I were driving yesterday. We were helping someone. And we were thinking about this. And I never thought about it until yesterday. We were driving and we were saying, man, doesn't it stink to get old? Because we had to try to hoist this air conditioner thing up on a second level, right? And we're going, man, I used to be able to just grab this thing and go. Not anymore. Not anymore. And so we were lamenting old age. And we're thinking, man, think of Adam. That dude had it. Okay, so Adam's 80 years old, right? Adam lived to what, 800 and some? I can't remember what it was. He lived old. So I'm thinking, all right, Adam lives to 800 and some. When he's like 800 years old, right? When he's 100 years old, he's got 100 years of knowledge in life, right? And he's only 1/8 through his life, so his body was probably in really good shape. So this dude had a wisdom from 100 years plus the body to be able to use that. I thought, wow, that sounds really great. But sin, right? But sin. This body is breaking down. Why? Because of sin. Sin destroys. But we will be in a place where there is no sin. What would that be like? Look ahead. Look ahead. That's what God's saying. When things are hard. You know, Tom and I were laughing about that yesterday. Yeah, it'd be great, won't it? Be in heaven. Not have to worry about, you know, if I grab this and don't move my feet before I turn, I might wrench my back. Don't have to worry about that anymore. I like this. I like this a lot. Look ahead. And in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Again, here Paul is saying, I understand things are hard, but you have to look ahead in order to be able to handle today. Look ahead. Look ahead. Think about that. Say, you know what, that's where I get my hope. Not from this twisted world. Not from this broken world or broken people. I can't find my hope in them. I can't find really hope in anything other than Christ. He is the constant. He is the promise. You see, our future eternal life is sure because of God's utter truthfulness. Because of who God is, not because you're going to earn it. But because of who God is. And we can be sure of that. Why? Because of his past faithfulness. He's got a record of doing what he says he's going to do. And he's got this one characteristic that kind of enables all that. And he is omnipotent, so he can do anything he wants to do. So if God makes the promise, and he says this is what's going to happen, then we're sure of it. Because he is able to do it, and he has honored his word in the past. So the two come together. Remembering the past faithfulness of God, and as we look ahead to the future, and knowing that God can do that, and he will do that. Why? Because he's faithful, because he's true. That's who God is. And so our hope is not random hope, like believing in a rock that will somehow save us, or whatever it might be. We have Christ, a living Savior. So we look back and we remember God's past faithfulness in difficult times. And that enables us to press on. And we look forward in order to get that hope that, you know what? That's what I'm looking for, Lord. I'm trusting in you. And what happens is this. In difficult times, obedience is the fruit of trusting in a God who has been faithful in the past and will provide hope for the future. Obedience is the natural fruit of when we walk in that. We have that heart. We have a joy that is unspeakable. Things that don't make sense to the world. And that was demonstrated in the Old Testament, wasn't it? Over and over again, we read, God said to Noah, what? I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to wipe this thing out. Now I want you to build a boat. So what did Noah do? He believed God. And he did what? He obeyed God. Said, all right, I'll do it. 100 years or however long it took him to build the ark. People mocking him constantly. Hey, look at old crazy Noah up there with his kids building a boat. Look at the size of this boat. Oh, crazy Noah. And Noah's just saying, how many times? I would love to talk to him when he's in there. How many times did you just really question? Say, really, was that God? Or did you never question? I think he was a sinner like you and I. He would have struggled with unbelief. So you just wonder, but he obeyed. Abraham, God says to Abraham, go to a place that I will show you. Now granted, I want you to know, in all of this, God is the one who has given them the faith to obey. God is the one who gives them the strength to physically obey. This is really the hand of God. But what I'm saying, for where we live right now today, sometimes we need to hear this. That you know what? God enables, but we have to walk. And God said, go to a place that I will show you. And I've, as you've heard me preach before, walking in, talking to Sarah, hey, babe, we're leaving. What do you mean we're leaving? We're going. Where? I really don't know. So why are we leaving? This is my family. God told me to. Remember the background of Abraham, a heathen. God told me to. Wonder if Sarah said, which God? It wouldn't be out of the park to say that. Don't know. But they looked ahead. They looked behind and God said, do this, and they walked in obedience. He said, all right, okay. And over in the Old Testament in particular, we see the examples of God commanding people to do things, and he would enable them to have the faith and the strength to do what he called them to do. Obedience was the fruit of trusting God's word. His past example, did it ever cross into Noah's mind? This is the one who spoke this all out of nothing. This is the Creator who talked to me. He remembers God's past. And then there's a flood that's coming. I'm going to wipe out this world. Looking at the future, believing God's promise that this is what's going to happen. But I'm going to deliver you. It's demonstrated in the Old Testament, and obedience as a fruit of trusting in God's past faithfulness and future promises is declared in the New Testament. Take a look. We see it over and over again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. He obeyed. James 2:17. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So they come together. You're not saved by works, but if you're saved, there will be works. There will be obedience. There will be trusting in God. John chapter 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Isn't that neat how God ties in his word a command to walk in obedience to him with his Spirit dwelling within you? He ties them together. A command, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then he follows that up with his enabling of us to do that by his Spirit dwelling within us. So he will be within you. And then finally, 1 John 2:3. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. You see, genuine trust and faith in the Lord during hard times produces God-honoring, Spirit-empowered obedience. That's what it does. God is doing the work in us. He is the one who empowers us. He is the one who is calling us to walk in obedience. And he's saying, and I will give you everything you need to walk in obedience to me. Take a look again at God's word. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How can you have peace in the chaos? By abiding in Christ. How can you remember the past? By abiding in Christ. How can you have trust and hope in the future? By abiding in Christ. It produces fruit in our lives. Romans chapter 6. Read just read the whole Romans chapter 6 when you get home. Just read it. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For sin will not have dominion over you since you are not under law but under grace. Having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification. Look at how this is all tied together. And its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God has graciously given Christians everything we need to walk in obedience to Him. Everything. The cross paid sin's penalty and broke sin's power. So that means that obedience is possible because you are no longer slaves to sin. And so what God commands, He enables. When God commanded Noah to build the ark, impossible task, in human terms, couldn't happen, God enabled him. When God called Abraham to leave, God enabled him. Spirit didn't dwell in them at that time, but God was the one who strengthened them. And what He commanded, He enabled them to fulfill. And He does so for us today. He says, fruit is the natural, the obedience is a natural fruit for trusting in God's past, or embracing and believing the truth of God, what God has done in the past, His faithfulness, and looking ahead to God fulfilling His promises in the future. Did you know that the Lord's table is an application of that principle? Everything that I said today, the Lord's table, we just exercised all three of these today. Take a look. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I did for you. Remember the past. Remember the past. That's why so many times we say, think about when you came to know Christ, when God granted that gift of salvation. Think about the past. Jesus said, hey, you know what? Do this in remembrance of me. Remember. Remember. In the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Again, look back. Remember. Do this in remembrance of me. And finally, for as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death when? Until He comes. Look ahead. Look back and remember the sacrifice that Christ made for each of us. Look ahead to the day that He's coming back. Until He comes back, you keep doing this. And the obedience is, do this. And you did it today. You were walking in obedience to God's word because Jesus commanded that. And so when we look back and we see the truth of what Christ has done for us, we see God's faithfulness in providing a Savior, and we hope in God's future promises of eternal life with Him. Remember, look back. Then we walk in obedience. Jesus said, do this. Remember me. Do this. And so we did it today. It's a work of God. You see, hard, difficult times are here now and they'll be here in the future. Nothing will change. That's just the way life is in a broken world with broken people. But don't be despondent and lose hope and joy. Don't do that. Don't believe the enemy's lies. Don't let the world overwhelm you and steal from you the joy that Christ wants to give you moment by moment. Don't do that. Remember this lesson from Route 66. that there is a sovereign God and He has been completely faithful in the past to you and to all His people. And He will fulfill all His promises He made for the future. That's sure, because of who He is, not who we are. And the Lord will be greatly glorified if by His grace, through the power of His Spirit, we joyfully walk in obedience during difficult, hard times. That glorifies God. That is a sign that this King that we serve is living and real, and more than just someone mentioned in a book. But He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Always was, is, and always will be. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of You today. We thank You for Your Word. How You keep bringing us back to these themes, to look back and remember Your faithfulness. Lord, through Your precious Word, we see Your faithfulness. Lord, help us to look back in our lives and see Your precious faithfulness in the past. God, open up our eyes to the little things that we miss about Your faithfulness. And God, help us to look forward, finding our hope in all the promises You have made about the future, based on who You are, Lord. And God, because of those truths, help us to find hope today and a faith that endures. Enable that, God, by the power of Your Spirit, Lord, so that we could walk with a joy that is unspeakable, that would confuse the world and cause the world to ask, who is it? What gives You this peace, this joy in the midst of craziness? And we might proclaim the greatness of our God, You, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' beautiful and glorious name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.